All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and get started. Mr. Miles just wanted to remind you guys, there's no test, but if you have not turned in some of the worksheets, you probably want to do that today or tomorrow, because that will affect your grade if you leave those empty. So make sure you get those in. So we're going to be page 30 in your notes today. Page 29, what does it say? I don't have those notes, so... The Mr. Elliott principle. I have no idea, so I can't help you there. If you really have to make sure that's filled out, I can go look at Mr. Miles' notes, but I just have one page for you guys. So, Making Decisions by Duffy Robbins. Okay. How many of you guys are leaving today? Okay. Safe travels. Have a good Christmas if I don't see you guys again. But we're going to work through this. And do you guys have a class next hour? Yeah? Okay. Perfect. All right. Five criteria for evaluating the methods used to make group decisions. Okay. This is something you guys would have done a lot earlier in the year, working with Planning Frontier Focus if we would have had it. This would have been your guys' job to do that. And so how do you do that? How do you plan something with a whole big group that are going to be involved in it? So number one, quality. Okay, quality. Have we made the best possible decision? When we do things, we want it to be quality. We do. We want it to be a quality thing. We want people to enjoy it. Frontier Focus. We have so many extra students show up, and it seems very well planned out every year. And that's what brings people back. How many of you guys came to Focus as a high schooler? Okay, some of you. Not a whole lot, but okay. What do you remember most about Frontier Focus as a high schooler? Okay. That's a lot better than most answers I get. Usually it's eating a banana after it's been through everyone's feet. But, yeah. What else? Someone else that had came. What do you remember?
Cow tongue.
Cow tongue. Yeah. Things stand out to you. Okay. Number two, time. Will the process allow us to reach a decision in a reasonable amount of time? With that time, we should spend a lot of time in prayer. What is best for this? Number three, commitment. Will the decision-making process encourage our ministry team, or student leadership to own the decision? Will the decision-making process encourage our ministry team or student leadership to own the decision? If we're not for something, if we're not going to take ownership towards it, it's not going to go smoothly because we're not putting our full effort into it. And we'll talk more about that. Attractiveness. Did the process build the morale of the group? Five, learning. Have we learned through the process of making this decision? You're going to do something, maybe try something new, and you're going to learn if it was a good idea or a bad idea. Like, yeah, let's not do that again. Bad idea. Or, hey, that was actually really fun. Let's continue with that. But we have to always be willing to adapt, to change, to learn from our mistakes. Four strategies for coming to a group decision. First strategy is to vote. Before you vote, though, what should you do? We should probably discuss things, right? Talk about the pros and cons of everything. Let people have their opinion, because a lot of times people are like, hey, that's a good idea, but did we think of this? And that might help people understand, hey, this is actually a better idea. Let's vote on it. What are the weaknesses? Okay, it produces a winner and a loser, right? When we vote, especially if it's close, and the commitment might weaken for those who lost. Sore losers. We don't have any of those in America, do we? But it is. It comes behind the, if we lose, especially in ministry, if it's something, if it's for Frontier Focus, we really wanted to have this idea, but it didn't get passed, or we really wanted to do this theme for a women's ministry. Whatever it is, even if we lose, we still have to give our best. They didn't take my idea. I don't really want to help anymore. We should be doing it for God's glory. What is the strength of voting? It saves time. It can get pretty easy. Okay, we have two ideas. Which one do we want? This one or this one? Let's raise your hands. Or, you know, before that you discuss. Okay, what are the pros and cons of each? Vote. Okay, this is what we're doing. Sometimes time is important. Hey, we've got to make this decision. We've got to get going. So voting. Number two, appoint an expert. Go to someone with much experience outside of this group. Okay, you're doing something. Maybe it's something new for you guys. And hey, we know so-and-so has done this for many years. Hey, I'm looking at doing a VBS for the first time. Or, hey, we want to start this. Well, hey, maybe we should have so-and-so do it because they've done this many, many times. They know what they're doing. Weaknesses of that. Okay? It neglects the Holy Spirit guidance. Sometimes we just want to pass it off to somebody else and say, hey, they've done it before. But maybe God's wanting you to do it. But the strength is you've got experience. You've got someone who's been there, who's done that. That's what I love about this school is everyone who's teaching, they've got actual experience. They're not just saying, oh, this is what I read in a book. This is what I was told to teach you about. It's no, let me share with you ways I've failed, ways that I've seen really, really amazing things happen. Mr. Bagley has some of the greatest stories, and as especially you guys get to pastoral theology, you'll get to hear some hilarious stories of mistakes that different pastors have made, and it'll be, I think, same for the women's ministry. How do you do things better? Three, the Delphi technique. Okay? This ranks the suggestions in order of preference, beginning with one for the highest, then total the number. Okay? D-E-L-P-H-I. So we have multiple ideas, okay, and we're trying to figure out, and everyone likes different ones, so you have them put down the list. Which one do you like the best? All that, and you have to tally it. Weakness with this is people can throw it off if they want. If they're just like, I don't really care, so I'm just going to go with the worst one on purpose because that just sounds fun, and we never have anyone do that ever, especially guys. They laugh because they know it's true. Strength with it is everyone at least has a part. You at least feel like you can give your say, you can be honest, you can put it down. A lot of times with a vote, it comes down to, well, everyone else is raising their hand, so my vote doesn't really matter, so I'll just raise it. Where this one, you actually get to put it in, you don't know what anyone else is saying. And where are we going to have this? Obviously, like this year is Frontier Focus, but where else are you going to have a large group planning something? A youth event. Okay, as a youth pastor or the youth, the head youth leader, you want to keep your youth or your leaders involved. If they're just like, oh, well, they're just going to make a decision. My opinion doesn't matter. You're going to lose them. So you want to be able to ask them, hey, what do you guys think? And, you know, some youth groups are very, very large and you have a lot of youth leaders. Other ones, it might just be easier just to talk, the three of you, whatever it is. 4, try to reach a consensus. Okay, just try to talk it out. Hey, what are we thinking? Pros, cons, and then just say, a lot like I said, especially smaller groups, you're able to just say, oh yeah, I think we all agree with this. You might have that one in the group that's always going to disagree. But if you can try to come to a consensus, it makes it easier. Just come to an agreement. Weaknesses with that. Might take much time. Might be difficult. Okay, it might take a while to get everyone on the same page. This is what I'm going to do. Well, no, I thought we wanted to do this and then this. And it's just going to go on and on and on. But work it out. Make sure you're not just taking charge all the time. There's times where you have to, as especially the head person, you have to just make that decision. You have to say, okay, we've got to move on. We've got to do this. We could sit here for days discussing this is what we're going to do. But try to come to an agreement. And then the lie, he has a number 5 here. I don't think you guys have that. But number 5 is just, it says dictatorship or executive decision. That's probably not the way you should do a lot of things. But again, there might come a time where you might just have to finally say, you know what? I have to make that decision. Or something comes up, they call you, and you have to make a quick decision. You have to think about what's best. You can try to reach out. Many times you might get a phone call saying, hey, I need an answer for this. What are we doing? And you might just have to say, this is what we're going to do, and then go to explain to your group, hey, this is what I decided, and this is why I had to make a quick decision. But this is definitely not the way we should handle. Okay, and then I know there might have been one other page in your notes. Mr. Miles said don't worry about that. So this is all of your notes. Before, you guys are going to get out early today. But before you guys do, he just wanted to open it up for any other questions, thoughts you guys might have before you go off to break. Anything, maybe, how do you handle certain situations? So, now's your chance, if not.
Looking back over the many years of being a youth leader, what's the one or two things that you can go back and tell your younger self going into things?
Oh, boy, yeah. I think I told you guys this earlier, but like I said, I will always tell anyone, relationships are key. Spending that time showing those students, those kids, that you truly do care. That is going to be the way to break down walls. And then just what we talked about this last time too, of your devotional life. Don't get in the habit of thinking, oh, I'm studying for my lesson. I'm studying for what I'm teaching on. You need to have a personal devotion life outside of your schoolwork, your homework. Whatever you're teaching on, still be in the Word of God. And like we've said before, when especially with high school, middle school, go to their games, go to their concerts. That is definitely ways that you're going to break down walls. If I had the mindset going in at first of, well, I'm the youth pastor, so they should just be able to trust me. They don't. And I was fortunate enough to go into a church where I was the first youth pastor, where now the guy after me, we've been talking quite a bit, and he said it's really hard because we're different, and that's okay. And trying to, you know, well, this is how Pastor Andrew did it. Well, that's not how he's going to do it, and it's okay. So if you go into a ministry where you're not the first, a lot of those kids really trusted the person before you. At a camp, wherever it's at. And so you have to be willing to show them that you really, truly care and want to be there. So, That was definitely something I would say. And also, find that mentor. Find that person you can go to, you can talk to. Find a few. Like I said, I met with the pastor once a week, but then I did. I called Mr. Bagley monthly, and my older brother. Those were guys I talked to all the time to encourage, to help. Don't do this on your own. And I'll say the same thing for you guys going into Christmas break. 6 weeks. We're a phone call away. Don't let your devotion life, don't let that change because you're just tired, you're burnt out. That's where you need God more than ever. Any other questions?
So I've been put in the position of leadership a couple of times in different things. And I've always tried to implement, I guess, those other four decision makings, but it normally always backfires and I end up having to be an executive and make the decision myself. So in your own personal experience, did that happen a lot?
Yes. I'm going to say, is anyone from South Dakota in here? All right. Farmers, ranchers, they have good opinion. Like I said, they're rather like, hey, like this is what I want to do and this is what I want. Or they're the complete opposite of like, I don't care. And you can't get anything out of them. And so it's like, it's great. Like when they're passionate about something, it's great because you're like, perfect. All right, we can go with this. But most time it was I don't care whatever you think. And it's like, no, like I want. And so like I tried to like ask questions to get answers from them. I also do this with my wife of like when we were getting married, hey, what do you think of this? Well, I don't know, like which one do you like better? Well, I kind of like this one. Oh, yeah, I like that one too. Like throw it back into their court a little bit and sometimes they'll answer. But sometimes you do. You have to say you can only push for so long and then you just have to say, you know what? Okay, like I've kind of listened to them if they've given me anything. If not, I'll talk to mentors. I'll talk to other people and just say, hey, what have you done? These are good ideas. These are bad ideas. When I was in school here, I had a really close friend of mine who was not really walking with God, and he called me and he said, "Hey, I heard you're starting a youth group." I said, "Yeah, I am." He's like, "I'd really like to help with it." And I had one of my mentors say, "He probably needs to be back in church before he can really help." And my thought was, "Well, I can help him. I can help him do this." And so I told him, "Yeah, you can come help with youth group, and that would maybe get him started." Well, I'm already trying to shepherd the youth group, and so I let him come in, and true story, we were 20, 21, and he started hanging out with one of the 16-year-old girls, and I had to tell one of my best friends, "You're done. This is not okay." And so that's another word of advice is, make sure you're finding solid leaders. Don't think that, I can help this person too. Your job is to shepherd those students, those kids. If you want to work with that person, do it separately. Because that really is going to hurt other things. And that was really hard. And I spent a lot of time with Mr. Hughesby. It was during while I was at school here. So, if you can try to get them to share an opinion, but a lot of times they're not. Anything else?
We've covered a lot about games and how games should have the purpose. What about with a little kid when you have a very brief time window? Because I would take a game later in my Christian service. They're like 3-7-ish.
Yep.
So why does all the way?
That decades. The purpose of games there? Yeah. The purpose there a lot of times is to get that energy out. I mean that is what it's there for. Is they are squirrely, they need to just run. And so yeah, if you can do something with the Bible there, if not, it's just to get that energy to help. That's helping the leaders get their kids to get that energy out and run around. The church we were at, we'd pick them up Wednesdays right after school, so they had school all day. We'd pick them up and then they'd come for another hour and a half of the church. And it was a nightmare the first year because the schedule we had was not good. They really didn't have much for activities. And so what is a first grader going to do after 7-8 hours of class? I mean, he wants to kind of somewhat calm down. So you got to let them have that time to get that energy out. So it might be something, yeah, duck, duck, goose, doing something fun. There's Mr. Shark, what time is it? You know, and then he comes and he goes forward, and then we change that to Mr. Noah, what time is it? And instead of lunchtime, it's flood time, and they have to run away. And like, you can kind of change it up to make something more biblical, I guess, or put a little spin on it. The other really cool thing, we used Answers in Genesis for our kids club, and they kind of have everything. They have a game that kind of goes with it, the memory verse, so it all ties together. So if you use something like that, that's a great way to do it. If you don't, like I said, sometimes it's just, hey, what can I do to get them to work as a team or work on a skill, but get that energy out, because that way they can sit during lesson time. And there's, I've got a lot of ideas for that. As simple as getting ping pong balls and a box, flipping the box upside down and cutting a hole about that big and making them try to blow the ping pong ball into the box. And it takes time, it takes effort, and they enjoy it. So, I mean, little things just like that. But yeah, helping get that energy out and just loving on them. I mean, a lot of those kids, it shouldn't be, but their favorite time of day is the game time. So they're going to come, they want to see you, and just know you care. It means a lot to them. Anyone else? Okay. Well, you guys are now done with youth ministry. Have a great Christmas break. And we will see you all hopefully in January.